Well, shall we start with a prayer? Shall we ask God to bless our short time together? Well, God, we do thank you that we're able to meet in the middle of the week like this. Thank you that we know that you will meet with us too. You have promised through our Lord Jesus Christ, where two or three are gathered together in your name, you'll be there. And so we pray you'll bless us now for Christ's sake. Amen. I think it would help if I wired myself up and tuned in, wouldn't it? Is that better? Can you hear it better?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Now, I'm sure you all know the question in the hymn, peace, perfect, peace in this dark
world of sin.
Well, we know the answer, but there's the question. Is it possible to have peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin? And not only in this dark world of sin, I mean, for us of a certain age, I'm afraid we get our afflictions and serious pains and disabilities and setbacks and all the rest of it. Is it possible? And then I was coming this morning and I had listened to the news. Don't really often listen to the news these days, but what were the first two items on the news this morning? If you haven't heard it, doesn't matter, but can you guess what they might be? What's the first one? Give me a guess.
Brexit.
Brexit. Well, Brexit was the second one, actually, but Brexit,
stabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stabbing. Knifing and stabbing.
Yeah.
Well, that's bad enough. The confusion we're in as a country with the politicians, they haven't a clue what they're doing, I don't know what they're doing. And, of course, this knife business. Now, that's the questions I'm raising. Is it possible? Yeah, well, of course. Now, I've got a text for you, okay? And my text is in the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 65. You need to look it up if you want to. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 65 and verse 4. And David is speaking, and he is saying this. Blessed. Now, we meet that word a lot in the Bible. Some people don't like it when you say that means truly happy, but I think that's pretty good. Truly, deeply contented, happy, lastingly happy. Yeah. Underneath, deeply, deeply happy. Not this superficial jollity stuff. I'm going to digress. When my mother was dying, on the Sunday morning, I was so tired, we hadn't slept the night before. She was dying in the hospital, not very far away. And we went to a church where, can I say, it was sensible, rational, reverential, quiet. The last thing I wanted that Sunday morning was somebody bashing drums in my ear and telling me how jolly everything was. Okay? You can be deeply happy in the darkest times. Now, I'm not preaching this because I've attained to it. I'm preaching to it because it's in Scripture, and I want to have it. But this is what David says. Blessed, and I think he means truly happy, deeply happy, is the man. Now, of course, the man or the woman, the person. Now, what is he going to say next? What makes him truly happy? Listen to him. Blessed is the man that you choose. He goes to the thought that God has set his love upon him before the foundation of the world. This is what he's doing. This is what he means. We were looking at it Sunday afternoon, weren't we? In Romans 9. How about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We are saved, not with anything we have done, but of his own love and grace and mercy, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What did Paul say to the Ephesians? Let's think of all the blessings we have in Christ, he said. And if you look at them in Ephesians chapter 1, one of the first ones, if not the first one, he hath chosen us, elect, and so on, predestinated us. Peter, when he writes his first letter, he starts like this. To the elect strangers, elect according to the foreknowledge, scattered strangers, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was a young man, I liked to argue with people about election. And I think I was a pretty good arguer, actually. But now I'm a little bit older, I've come to see that it is all right to argue about it, but it's better to live on it. And in a few days' time, and it will be a few days, I don't know, maybe a few years, I'm hoping to prove it to be a good doctrine to die on. Blessed be God, I am happy because he chose me. Blessed is the man whom thou chosest. And not only that, you cause him to approach unto you. Now what is this? Well, you know when you hear the gospel, there's the general invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come. But you know when I say those words, a lot of people it means nothing to them. But here and there, there's one where it's effective. And they feel the drawing power, the effective power of God's Spirit. And they're actually caused to come. When I was preaching in America several years ago, I was preaching two Sunday evenings. I may have told you this story. A man brought his son to the services. And after the first evening service, the father said to this young son, he was about 13, he said, how'd you get on? He said, it was like going to the dentist, he said. He said, what do you mean? He said, it was, well, I felt the tug. Yes. I felt the tug. I hope the next week he felt more than the tug. I hope he came. John 6. No man can come unto me, he says, except my Father which sent me. Go on, Junior, saying it. Draw me. Draw him. Yeah. Ah, well, that's all right, if you long to know that. This is what David says. Blessed is the man whom you choose and you cause to approach. I'm speaking to you, brother and sister. I'm speaking to myself. Has God caused you to come? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you must have been elect before the foundation of the world. And if you begin to think about that, that will make you truly happy. At least David hasn't finished. Listen. That he may dwell in your courts. Now, I've been back in Bedford for a weekend. I came on Sunday, and I've been staying with my dear friends in Biggleswade, and it's been very enjoyable. But you know, I'm a guest. Now, this afternoon, I'm going back to my home, and there's a very big difference between being a guest there and being at home. David didn't say, I come occasionally to the presence of God. I dwell there. I'm permanently at home. And where is the, what does he mean by the courts? Well, if you read on, thy holy temple. Now, of course, he's dipping in the days of the old covenant, and he's thinking of the tabernacle and the temple, the priests, the sacrifices. We're not living in those days now. We're living in better days. All those things have gone because they've been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our temple. The believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The believers gather together, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Christ is our great priest. Christ is all. And in the days of the gospel, this is the secret, my brother and sister, of our true happiness. To think that I'm in Christ. And Christ died for me, prays for me, is coming again for me. And it's all because of God's electing grace. But Brother John Rushton was just wanting to be loving this, wouldn't he? Before the foundation of the world, Lamb's Book of Life. And God has drawn me, brought me to trust in the Savior. And I'm a permanent dweller here. He will never leave me, and he will never say, the room is closed. We've got to close this place. No, no, it's always open. I've got one last thought for you. I'm going to read the text to you, and I want you to spot what's strange in the text. Here's the text. Blessed is the man whom you choose, the man you cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of your holy, I like that word too, holy temple. Now here's the odd thing. In the beginning of that verse, David is talking about the man. Now I use a long word, abstract. He's talking about somebody, you know, out there. But he can't leave it there. He has to talk about we. He takes it to himself, you see. And I'll go one stage further than David. I'll go with Paul, Galatians 2:20. The Son of God, not who loved the elect, well, that's true. Not who loved sinners, yeah, that's true. Not who loved the world, yeah, that's true. But the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what I would say to any unbeliever who might be listening to it. Unless you know Christ, you will never, never be happy. Truly happy. Remember, that's what the preacher said to young Spurgeon. Young man, you look very miserable. And he said, and you always will be miserable until you do what my text says. And the text was, look unto me and be saved. Yeah. My brother and sister, remember this when you go home to your room. Whatever the sorrows, difficulties, and trials, God has chosen us. If you're a believer, say this to yourself. God has chosen me. Before the foundation of the world, how much he must have loved me. I'm surprised that Audrey isn't saying what Mr. Baines said, Paul Baines. God pitcheth upon persons. He pitches upon me. And he pitched upon me and he loved me and he loves me with an everlasting love. Well, that's true happiness, I think. Now I've got a hymn for you. Let's see if you can repeat the chorus with me. Now none... Right. See, this is what it says here. They shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Another name for me. 'Tis life and health, Lord Jesus, found in thee.